Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and we have 30 minutes to make it count. This is a very important episode of Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Cynthia Koss, a talented cardiologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Let me take just a moment to tell you a little bit about Dr. Koss, a cardiologist and board certified in internal medicine. Dr. Koss earned her medical degree at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. After medical school, she completed a residency in internal medicine at Larkin Community Hospital in Miami, Florida. Dr. Koss went on to complete fellowships in cardiology and advanced heart failure and transplant cardiology at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. A lot of special interests. Let me share a few of Dr. Koss's special interests, which include advanced heart failure and cardiogenic shock. She has participated in clinical research studies and authored articles in peer-reviewed medical journals, specialty trainings, cardiology, Deborah Heart and Lung Center, Browns Mills, New Jersey. Advanced heart failure and transplant cardiology, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And as I mentioned, certified, board certified in internal medicine. Dr. Koss, welcome to your program.
Thank you so much, Harry, for that wonderful introduction and the opportunity to speak about a very, very important topic today, heart failure.
I could not agree more, Dr. Koss. When people hear things like heart failure, that really gets your attention. So let's get right into it, Dr. Koss. What is heart failure? And then sort of a follow-up right up front, what happens to the heart during heart failure?
Sure. So heart failure is exactly what it sounds like. The heart itself is unable to do what its function is. And the main function of the heart is to pump oxygenated blood to the rest of the body. So if it can't do that, if it has a mechanical problem in pumping the blood, then the rest of the body suffers. And then in terms of what actually happens with the mechanism of heart failure, there's two types of pumping problems. One is it either is too weak to squeeze or it's too stiff to relax. So when we say it's too weak to squeeze, that's systolic heart failure or heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. And then the other type of heart failure is when it's too stiff, and we call that diastolic heart failure or heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. Each one of them are about, you know, your chances if you are going to have heart failure. Each one of them is about, you'll either get one or the other. It's a 50-50 chance of either one. Not one is more prevalent than the other. What happens is if you have the problem with the squeeze of the heart tends to get very large and weak and dilated. And if you have the other problem where it's too stiff, it tends to get smaller and thicker.
Wow. Dr. Koss, what are the signs and symptoms? And in fact, are there always signs and symptoms? In other words, can you have heart failure and not even know it?
Yeah. So when it comes to heart failure, you know, it's you can have an acute issue, meaning it comes out of the blue. You never had the problem before. And then sometimes heart failure can happen when you've had a previous diagnosis and you have what we call an acute on chronic issue. So for those that have had heart failure in the past, or sometimes when people say, oh, I have family members that have been diagnosed with heart failure, they imagine somebody that has volume overload, meaning they really have a difficult time with breathing. They've got fluid in their lungs, they have bloated abdomen, and they have fluid in their legs, and they're really just not able to move around like they used to. They have, you know, maybe they're in a wheelchair, maybe they're on oxygen, maybe they complain of a rapid heartbeat or palpitations. That's when a lot of times it's more obvious to a patient as well as to their family members that somebody's in heart failure. But there are actually more subtle symptoms of heart failure that not everyone really realizes, and they're also very vague. So when I'm speaking of those types of symptoms like fatigue, generalized fatigue. Well, fatigue could be caused by many different things. Just not enough sleep, stress in general, thyroid issues. But it also could be a sign of heart failure. Other symptoms like this would be weight gain, nausea, or lack of appetite, just a general decreased alertness, inability to do what you've been able to do in the past. And if the heart failure is caused by something like coronary artery disease or blockages within the blood vessels to the heart, sometimes you can have chest pain, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen all the time. And a lot of the issue and the reason why we promote heart failure awareness is because these symptoms are subtle, and we want people to take, you know, do a check-in with themselves to say, hey, have I been experiencing these symptoms? And if so, just to make sure that people get checked in and checked out by a doctor and let the doctor say, hey, you know, there's nothing medical here. There's other reasons for that, and it's not something serious like heart failure.
What a comprehensive, important answer that was. You're listening to Dr. Cynthia Koss, starring today on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and the topic is a very important one. What is heart failure? Obviously, words that people never want to hear related to them or anyone. What are the most common conditions that lead to heart failure? What's the causation?
So anything that would hurt the heart, anything that would put stress on the heart itself, can lead to the failure of this organ, which in my very biased opinion is the most important organ of the body, but you know, that's just me. Anyway, things such as coronary artery disease, right? Blockages to the blood vessels that lead to the heart, or blood pressure issues, particularly high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, which is literally a resistance to the blood leaving the heart, you can put more pressure on the heart, causing it to fail over time. Other structural issues like valvular heart disease, other systemic issues such as diabetes, are more common conditions that lead to heart failure. Now, there are other conditions that can lead to heart failure that are sometimes common, but not that often diagnosed or diagnosed as frequently. Causes such as arrhythmia. Arrhythmia meaning an abnormal rhythm of the heart. And one of the most prevalent problems with rhythm is atrial fibrillation. And so sometimes people don't even know they have it, but it's one of the ones that as cardiologists, we can monitor for that. We can put special monitors on the patient, we can go home, and we can screen to see if they have arrhythmias. Other things such as what we call restrictive cardiomyopathies, it's a fancy term for pathologies within the muscle itself. And one of the ones we screen for at Deborah is called TTR amyloidosis. There's also sarcoidosis. And there's some genetic cardiomyopathies that can be passed on through the generations that we can screen for. Other common or more common causes of heart failure that we're learning about now in the era of COVID, there's what we call myocarditis or pericarditis, which is inflammation of the muscle itself or the sac around the heart. And there's papers that, you know, as we know, information about COVID is coming out by the minute. But we're learning about the effects of that inflammation around the heart that some patients have and how that might lead to heart failure. And there is, you know, preliminary data out there that heart failure is one of the sequela of having inflammation around the heart, particularly with COVID. There's other conditions that lead to it, such as postpartum cardiomyopathy. Some women, you know, have a abnormality within the muscle tissue of the heart after giving birth, and they end up with an acute case of heart failure. Fortunately, a lot of times it's reversible, as well as those patients that might undergo cancer treatments where they have chemotherapy or radiation. That can also lead to heart failure, as well as patients that tend to have that use alcohol or abuse alcohol, that's a toxin to the heart. So it's a long list to answer your question, but, you know, that's why it's important that, you know, we all check in and we all realize, like, hey, do I have any of these, you know, history? Do I have any of these possible risk factors? And, you know, how well is my heart doing?
Such important information. We're visiting with Dr. Cynthia Koss this half hour, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic is, what is heart failure? And for our guest listeners, Deborah Heart and Lung Center offers heart failure services in Toms River, Browns Mills, and soon will be offering services in Lawrenceville at the new office that will be opening soon. They're taking on new patients or accepting new patients. You can call 609-621-2080. This is also a very easy way to get through digitally on any digital device, demanddeborah.org, and you'll be prompted. There's a hyperlink that will prompt you to where you need to do and what you need to do relative to scheduling an appointment. It's very simple digitally, or if you prefer to call. And we'll give you that information a few more times during this half hour. This is also obviously very important as well, because I think with a lot of things that we talk about on Deborah Heart and Lung Center, the stage of something is pretty dramatic. If we're talking about cancer, for example, early detection, stage one versus stage four, and all of that. What are the stages of heart failure, Dr. Koss?
Yeah, Harry, this is a really good point you just brought up. I mean, a lot of times people they say heart failure, and it doesn't carry the same weight as cancer. And you hit it perfectly, that heart failure itself, just like cancer, has a progressive progression to it. And so what we do is we classify where, the heart failure is. It's starting with stage A through D. So stage A are those that are at high risk for developing heart failure. However, when we look at their actual heart structure, there's no structural disorder at that time, but they do have risk factors. So that's stage A. And I like, when I describe this to patients, I say A for at risk. And then B and C are somewhere in the middle. Stage D is the other end of the spectrum, where I tell patients, now we're in the dire or deadly stage where we need to start having very advanced therapies and very real discussions about how serious, the heart failure has progressed.
Let me be rude and interrupt you, Dr. Koss. If you're in stage D, and I really love the listenable, relatable way that you just described these differences, but if you find yourself, a guest listener right now, finds themselves in stage D, if you do the right things, you go to Dr. Koss, you go to Deborah, you take care, and you start doing the right things or whatever advice you're being given, I'm going to use the word graduate, can you graduate out of D and improve your position?
So, unfortunately, not unless we treat you with a heart transplant.
Gotcha.
Unless you get a new engine to put in your body, you really can't get out of stage D heart failure.
Well, I'm glad I interrupted and brought that up. So you don't want to be in stage D. You can't rally from that.
You can't. I mean, we have treatments. We have ways of making patients' quality of life as best as possible with IV medications. Here at Deborah, we put in heart pumps as another mechanism of helping patients in this particular stage. And then there's also transplants. So this is the stage where, we really talk about, we need to either do something, which would be an open heart surgery, or, some patients get to the stage and they might have gotten to the stage later in life, and they might not be a candidate for those surgeries. And, unfortunately, we have to go to palliative care hospice route. In terms of heart failure, that's another point of, diagnosing early, just like cancer. We want to get everybody's awareness out there of what to look for. And then number two, come to the doctor, get checked out. And, if we can identify those patients that are in stage A through B early, get them hooked up with the type of physicians they need to be hooked up with, cardiologists, and then, an advanced heart failure cardiologist as well, if they progress to those particular stages where we really need to start getting more aggressive to avoid stage D if at all possible.
Very important. We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and we're going to do it right now. We'll be back in just a little bit. A lot more important content with Dr. Cynthia Koss, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is, what is heart failure? So you know now, because Dr. Koss is putting on a clinic. I mean, this is incredible. tutorial. You know what heart failure is. You know the signs and the symptoms. You know the common conditions. You know the stages now. When we come back, Dr. Koss is going to update us on how is heart failure diagnosed. Obviously, very important as well. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. It is 25 minutes past the hour, and it's really flying by very, very quickly with Dr. Cynthia Koss, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour, and it's very, very significant, is what is heart failure? And if you've missed any of it, go to the podcast after we sign off today, and you'll be able to catch up. But Dr. Koss has really done a phenomenal job sharing a lot of important information that maybe you've never heard before. So I did tease right before the break, Dr. Koss, how is heart failure diagnosed?
Great question. So the first way of heart failure to be diagnosed is that the patient needs to recognize that they have symptoms and they need to come seek medical attention or medical care or an evaluation, right? If I can't diagnose a patient if they're not coming to see us in the clinic, then once a patient comes into the office, we talk with them. We find out, you know, over time, have you had a, you know, could you do the same things you did a year ago? Or are you more short of breath? Oh, I've noticed I can't walk around the grocery store like I could last year, or I can't keep up with my grandchildren as much as I could last year. You know, those types of things are important. So we speak with the patient, find out how has life been? How have things been going? Then we also do screening tests. And some of those screening tests include an EKG to look for arrhythmias. We also do some lab work, basic lab work. We will not only want to screen for those causes of heart failure, for example, like we talked about earlier, thyroid disease or diabetes, but also if we suspect the patient has heart failure, you know, to what extent might this heart failure be affecting their other organs? So we look at kidney function and liver function. And then we also do imaging. And one of the very first imaging we do is called a 2D echocardiogram. That's fancy terms for basically an ultrasound of the heart, which is a non-invasive test. It's an outpatient test with a gel in the chest, and we get a lot of information from that in terms of the structure and function of the heart. And from there, we can kind of start understanding what's been going on. There are a little more sophisticated tests, including a cardiac MRI that shows us a little more detail of the actual muscle tissue of the heart, but that can also show us about function. And then if we suspect that there's coronary artery disease involved, sometimes we end up sending patients for coronary catheterizations to make sure their blood vessels are open. And then we also do what's called functional testing. We want to see, you know, if you're telling me you're fine, are you really fine? Can you really walk up and down a hallway without becoming short of breath? If I put a pulse oximeter on your finger, are you losing oxygen as you're moving around? Those types of tests. So it really is a constellation of all of that information that helps us achieve the diagnosis of heart failure.
Thank you, Dr. Koss. For our listeners, Deborah Heart and Lung Center offers heart failure services in Toms River, Browns Mills, and soon we'll be offering services in Lawrenceville at their new office that will be opening soon, demanddeborah.org. You can call 609-621-2080. 609-621-2080. A lot of people like to go digitally now. So demanddeborah.org, very, very simple to navigate. They do a great job with the website. So we know what it is. We know how you diagnose it. How do you treat it? Heart failure.
So, of course, treatment depends on what the cause is. And sometimes, like we said before, sometimes the cause of heart failure can be reversible, can be treated. So, for example, coronary artery disease, so blockages in the blood vessels of the heart. Patient comes in with heart attack. Sometimes if we get and treat that early enough, and if, even though the patient has a weakening of the heart or the heart becomes stunned and doesn't pump as well, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time and some aggressive medication, and then the heart function comes back and we're able to reverse the heart failure. So that's, you know, a best case scenario, that it's a temporary decrease in the function.
Well, that's a huge point that you just made. So to listeners that want to know, if you get this news, it doesn't necessarily have to be permanent. You can cure it, it sounds like.
It depends on the cause, but not everything is a permanent, you know, not all heart failure has to be chronic. You're exactly correct. And then in terms of the treatments, you know, we have oral medications that people can take at home. And, you know, over time and with research, we've really developed a wonderful armamentarium of medications where there's different classes that do different things to help people live longer and stay out of the hospital, right? That's our goal. Heart failure hospitalizations are extremely prevalent, and we want to keep people out of the hospital. So medications are very important. There's also device therapy, where we have people talk about pacemakers, defibrillators. There's a specific device called a CRT, and that's a cardiac resynchronization therapy. It's basically a device where our electrophysiology colleagues place that under right underneath the skin, and it helps the right and left ventricles talk to each other and beat correctly. So we utilize that to help our heart failure patients. And then as the heart failure progresses in some of those cases, we have to resort to IV medications, heart pumps, and heart transplants.
Such important information, Dr. Koss. And you know, people want to know this. They hear from you potentially that you know, you have or you're in heart failure, and they want to know, how do they live with heart failure? How do you respond to that question?
So can you live with heart failure? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The real question is how well, right? Quality of life truly matters when it comes to heart failure, when it comes to cancer, when it comes to any chronic condition. If you are living your life by laying in bed, watching TV, or in the hospital, in and out of a hospital, or attached to an IV pole, and not doing what you really want to do, not participating in your family events, walking your daughter down the aisle, you know, seeing the birth of your grandchildren, things like that. You know, quality of life really matters. So, yes, you can absolutely live with heart failure, and you can do it successfully with a team approach to treatment. You and your physician are a team. You take your medications and follow up as, you know, directed. On the other hand, your physician is looking for early detection that your disease is getting worse. So it's really a team approach. And it's also multiple physicians involved, your primary care doctors, your endocrinologist for diabetes, your general cardiologist, and, you know, if needed, advanced heart failure cardiologist. So it's yes, you can live. It's just the quality of life is what matters.
This, I think, is also very important for you to share with your listeners, Dr. Koss. What lifestyle changes do you, as an expert, do you recommend for people with heart failure?
So I think the very first important thing to do is recognize that it's a chronic condition. You know, I'm speaking to those that are definitely have the heart failure that's not reversible, the chronic patients, you know, or just patients in general. You know, it's the lifestyle. The first lifestyle change is to be more involved in your health. Take notice of things. Take notice of your symptoms. Like I said before, you know, am I doing the things that I want to do in life that I could do a year ago? Or am I getting worse? More specific things that we coach our patients to do would be to take daily weights, literally step on the scale, see if fluid is accumulating in your body. And if so, we need to change some of our medication regimens. We talk about fluid restriction and heart failure. Why is that? Well, because in patients with either weak hearts or stiff hearts, they can't tolerate having a lot of fluid within their vasculature, and it ends up backing up into their lungs, making them short of breath, and their abdomen, making them feel nauseous and constipated and just overall not well, and then or into their legs, and they have edema. So along with fluid restriction comes salt restriction, and that sometimes for some people who like, you know, delicious food, sometimes that's definitely something that they struggle with. But fortunately, there's more, you know, people out there that are promoting healthy lifestyles. There's recipes. There's, instead of putting salt on food, put spices on food. You know, there's ways that people have found without using salt in their diet to still have a good quality of life, love their food, and live well. You know, and if needed, you know, we have nutritional counselors too that can help with that.
I don't want to say goodbye, but our time is up. But if I could stretch you for one final question and then maybe feather in, appreciate you, Dr. Koss, feather in a closing comment thereafter, and then we'll try to get you out here reasonably on time. But we're at 35 minutes past the hour, and I want to respect your time. But I think this last question is so important for you to have a moment to address with your listeners, and it is, when should someone listening right now, when should they call their doctor for their heart? When do you think they should know enough that it's time to make that call?
Yeah, great question. I really think that if patients or people just take a minute, you know, this is Heart Health Month, right? February, there's hearts literally all over the place. Take a minute and think about your own heart health and, you know, think about your life's priorities and what matters most. And if you haven't at least had an annual physical to check in, get an EKG, check your lipid panel, check your cardiovascular risk factors, please at least do that. And then if you are even having symptoms, shortness of breath, fatigue, all those symptoms we talked about previously that are just limiting you from enjoying life, please seek medical attention so that we can at least screen you for those illnesses that might, you know, really be deadly. And we want to make sure that you're doing the best you can.
And before we say goodbye, let me remind all Dr. Koss's listeners that Deborah Heart and Lung Center offers heart failure services in Toms River, in Browns Mills, and will be offering services soon in Lawrenceville at their new office in the very near future. DemandDeborah.org. You can navigate through the website, or you can call 609-621-2080. Deborah Heart and Lung Center, accepting new patients. Dr. Koss, you were an absolute delight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity, because guess what? Next week is actually Heart Failure Awareness Week. So you're already on the ball. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, because of you, we're on the ball. I thank you so much. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.